The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group, proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams.
Episode 31 of The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland Senior Football Championship victories, recalls the 1997 season. 10 seasons had passed since the Kingdom last got their hands on the coveted Sam Maguire. The golden years were well and truly consigned to the history books. Enter the Renaissance Men.
Part 1.
Kerry won their 30th All-Ireland Senior Football Championship in 1986. It's an old saying, but nobody could have envisaged that more than a decade would pass before the Sam Maguire would reside in the county again. For 1990s and noughties Kerry goalkeeper Declan O'Keefe, the Kingdom's years in the wilderness coincided with his school days.
It was difficult in going to national school in Ratmore. We had 7 in my class, it was a small class, but 3 from Cork and 4 from Kerry, like, and that was the way it was. And you learned to kind of hate them from a very early age. And I say hate, no smiling, you know, you learned that rivalry that was deep-seated and was there from a very, very early age.
The closest Kerry had come in those barren years was in 1991, losing the All-Ireland semi-final to Down, and 1996 when the Kingdom fell to Mayo in the last 4. The aim in 96 was to reclaim the Munster crown, which was achieved. Nonetheless, the view was widespread that Kerry did not do themselves justice in that year's All-Ireland semi-final. Kerry didn't wallow in too much self-pity following that loss, however. In fact, as Seamus Moynihan recalls, preparations for the following season began the month after the Mayo loss.
When we got beat by Mayo in 96, Paddy had us back in again in October. We had a serious amount of work done even pre-Christmas of that year, and we lost one game that year, and that was to Meath up in Navan, and that was, I think it was one of the second last games before Christmas, and I think we went 13 months in without being beaten by any team. So we went on to win the National League, the Munster Final and the All-Ireland Final. So I suppose you get out of football as you put into it, and that year definitely the work that was put in by all the players and by the management was second to none, and thankfully we got the rewards for it.
While the famine at senior level continued, the county had experienced success at underage level. A minor All-Ireland in 1994 was followed by under-21 victories in 95 and 96. It meant players such as Mike Frank Russell came into the senior setup with a winning mentality.
I was 18, I was a young greenhorn, and we had won an under-21 and a minor before that, and you know, that under-21 team kind of came up with a bit of success, whereas the seniors for 10 years before that, it was a kind of a barren spell, and we were coming in with kind of no fears to the senior team. We had kind of been grown up on a diet of success at underage. I think it was the basis of the underage players coming through then to a new senior team, and we kind of came in with no baggage, and we kind of were able to have no fears when we played. And I think, you know, it took off from there then, I think. And Paddy had been training on 21s as well, and we came in then and we were just starting as if we were starting a new chapter, like.
Stephen Stack was the sole member of the 97 squad who had already won an All-Ireland medal. He feels the promotion of players such as Russell to the senior ranks was vital.
What I found more than anything else is that the younger players that came through just came with a great freshness. They weren't a bit intimidated by the fact that it was so long since we'd won one before, and I thought they brought a great impetus to the squad, and I think the younger players that came through just brought a freshness and a kind of a devil-may-care attitude, you know.
Of the players who took part for Kerry in the 1997 Championship opener, the following had won the All-Ireland Under-21 Championship in 95. Barry O'Shea, Killian Burns, Dara O'Shea, Donald Dolly, Dennis O'Dwyer, John Crowley, Liam Hassett and Dara O'Kaneda. Killian Burns, Dara O'Shea and Dennis O'Dwyer, Liam Hassett and Dara O'Kaneda were part of the side which retained the title in 96, while other members of that team were Morgan O'Shea, William Kirby and Mike Frank Russell. That trio also played in the 97 Senior Championship opener. Liam Hassett saw similarities between the 97 panel and that of the Golden Years era.
Having won 2 All-Irelands in 95-96, I think the crop of players that came into the senior panel were a confident bunch of players. I suppose to kind of look back to 74-75, those players that came onto the Kerry senior team back then, maybe it was similar in that way, like young players full of enthusiasm, full of hunger. And you must remember, Kerry hadn't been in All-Ireland final since 86. We were to become part of something special if it did come true.
Despite a shaky start, Kerry went on to win the 1997 National League. Liam Flaherty believes that gave them the platform to challenge on a greater stage.
After Mayo beating us in the semi-final, the team felt there was something left to prove. We shouldn't have been beaten the way we were beaten that day against Mayo, and we came out and we said we're going to have a cut at this league. Remember, the first couple of games the league didn't go off great, but towards the end of the league we were putting wins together, and we got to the quarter-final league, and then against Down, we beat them. We're the first team to beat Down above Croke Park for a long, long time. And after that, then we went to the semi-final against Laois. We beat them handy enough. We got Cork then in the league final. We gave them a bit of a drubbing below in Cork, Páirc Uí Chaoimh. And you know, after that then the team kind of felt, you know, we were on a bit of a roll. We kind of celebrated. After that, we kind of all came together. I can remember we met, I think, on a Monday out in Brosson's in my van. We kind of had a good day out there and we had a good chat with each other and we kind of gelled and we said, lads, we could have a good cut of this championship.
The championship opener against Tipperary seemed to be in the bag after the first quarter of an hour. After 5 points in the opening 15 minutes, Kerry failed to get on the score sheet again until the closing minute of the half. The Kingdom were paying for their 9 wides in the opening half hour. Tip scored 3 points to cut the gap to 2 at 5 points to 3. Kerry led 7 points to 3 at half time. They doubled the lead in the early minutes of the second period.
Here comes Morris Fitzgerald. Morris Fitzgerald, he's only barely struck that ball, but it's gone high and over the bar. Kerry coming forward. Again finds Morris Fitzgerald. Morris Fitzgerald is clear this time. He's going toward a hand. Morris Fitzgerald on the 14. Takes a shoulder there, but he's gone inside. Takes a shot, a great save, but the ball is a goal! It's a goal for Kerry. John Cowley, the scorer. Well, Morris Fitzgerald did it all. He took the Tipperary defence apart, drew 4 of the backs, and when his rasper was brilliantly saved by Martin Finlevin, well, John Cowley did the rest.
Tip's first score of the half saw them find the net. By the 15th minute, Kerry led 1-10 to 1-4, a seemingly safe 6 points margin, even allowing for the fact there were 20 minutes to go. Over the course of the next 10 minutes, however, Tip reeled off 5 unanswered points. With 10 minutes to go, there was a solitary point separating the teams. Kerry won 10, Tip won 9. 9 minutes from time, Kerry eventually put the game beyond Tip.
The ball comes out to Killian Burns. Killian Burns gets it inside. Hey, here's Dennis Dwyer. Goal for Kerry! A ball in the back of the net! And the goal scored by Dennis Dwyer.
Yes, indeed, Liam. And the strange thing about it, Killian Burns was shipped the ball into Dennis Dwyer. Killian Burns had the jersey nearly pulled off him. I was just going to say, why didn't the referee give him the free? It was a blatant foul. He left him go. The ball went into Dennis Dwyer. Dennis Dwyer was inside in the big square. He got the ball, and the Waterville man turned around and he hammered the low one with venom and with vengeance right into the corner net. My goodness, didn't Kerry want that goal?
That Dennis O'Dwyer goal was followed by a Liam Hassett point, and the game was finally out of Tip's reach. Kerry won 2-12 to 1-10. Surprisingly, John O'Keefe's Clare were to be Kerry's Munster final opponents, following a last-minute victory over Cork. Clare's win over Cork may have been dismissed as a fluke in some quarters, but John Crowley says they approached the game with the utmost respect for their opponents.
Yeah, because Clare had beaten Cork, who had were supposed to have had phenomenal trainings in the net year under Larry Tompkins with a last-minute goal, and they had a few fine players at the time, Jorkeen, Martin Daly, you know, like they had a few excellent players, and we were not taking them for granted by no means when they'd beaten Cork. We had nothing to go on, like, you know, we hadn't, you know, we had won Munster, I think, maybe the year before, 96, Scrope home against Cork, and that's all we had in the bag, like, so we certainly weren't taking anything for granted going up against Clare.
Dennis O'Dwyer put Kerry 2-1 ahead after 8 minutes. Clare equalised, then Kerry went 3 in front. It was 6 points to 5 after half an hour. Kerry led 8 points to 5 at half time. The decisive score arrived in the 4th minute of the second half.
Liam Farty races onto it, although he slips the ball forward for Liam Hassett. Hassett is tackled by 2 or 3 Clare men. The ball comes back to Flaherty. First pass, 2 tackles, then sends a left footed shot. No time for fancy balls, they're aiming it now. Who's coming for this one? Parlade. Parlade has grabbed it. Parlade is clear on the 14. A goal for Parlade! A magnificent goal from Parlade! What a shot! He rattled the top corner of the net after bursting his way in. Well done to Parlade!
That opened up a 6-point gap, 1-8 to 5 points. It was a deficit Clare cut in half by the 11th minute of the period. Twice, Clare got the gap down to 2 points. Each time, Kerry answered with a point of their own. With 11 minutes remaining and the score standing at 1-10 to 10 points, Clare could have levelled.
To Michael Hines, a long ball inside, and there's a Clare goal on here. Barry Keating with a great chance, but it's a great tackle by Mike Hassett, and then Seamus Moynihan to assist him. Well, they got back there and dangerously looked like a foul, which could possibly have been like a penalty for the moment, but it wasn't.
The score read Kerry 1-10, Clare 11 points, with 5 minutes to go. The Kingdom kept the Clare forwards scoreless through to the final whistle, whilst adding to their own tally. It was 113 to 11 points at the close of play. Fittingly, 50 years after contesting the All-Ireland final at the Polo Grounds, Kerry and Cavan were to meet in the All-Ireland semi-final. After Cavan took an early lead, Kerry hit back in style.
Darrell Shea high and the equaliser, and what a start for Darrell Shea. It's a point apiece, 3 minutes gone. Here's Dennis Dwyer, a great run here from him, he's 40 yards out, he's still going on, he's going to take his kick. He sends it high and over the bar. Wonderful piece of opportunism by Dennis Dwyer. Here comes Parley. He's going all the way. Fists it high and over the bar. Wonderful point. What speed from Parley. They talk about the cabin forwards being fast. That was a devastating run.
3 points to one to Kerry inside 5 minutes. Kerry would have to wait 11 minutes for their next score. In the meantime, Cavan took over. Brian Clark had Kerry level on 16 minutes. Cavan went in front by two. Maurice Fitzgerald then stamped his mark on proceedings.
Here he comes, tips it high and sends it over the bar. We need all those runs. A wonderful left with a kick for Maurice Fitzgerald over the bar. And that is certainly a kick that would grace any All-Ireland semi-final. High and over the bar. A wonderful free for Maurice Fitzgerald from 55 yards out.
Those scores edged Kerry in front by 7 points to six with 32 minutes on the clock. Cavan tied the game within a minute. In injury time, Eamon Breen put Kerry two in front. The first half scoring was not yet done, however.
And we could have a problem here because Larry Riley is taking on Stephen Stack and he gets it to Vincent Cahill. He's in on goal. Goal for Cavan! A goal for Cavan! Vincent Cahill, the scorer. The worst moment in a game, it could happen just before half time.
Cavan were ahead by the minimum at the break, 1-7 to 9 points. Stephen Stack was not too put out by that late first half setback.
We felt we weren't playing that badly actually at the time. Cavan did get a run on us for the goal, but we kind of felt we, at the same time, in a lot of positions we were going much better than we were going the previous year. And I remember at half time particularly there was no sense of panic in the dressing room, there was no sense of disappointment. We kind of felt for maybe 6 or 7 minutes we hadn't played well, concentration was lost a little bit, but we felt there was a full half to go. We did feel going out in the second half that we were really going to give this thing a rattle and we just weren't going to leave without leaving everything out on the pitch, you know. Dennis Dwyer, who was playing brilliantly at the time, got very, very bad concussion, I think about 6 or 7 minutes before half time. Actually, we were inside in the dressing room and there was an ambulance kind of backing in the door of the dressing room, so like there was a bit of mayhem inside in the dressing room. But actually, to be fair to the management team, they kept us very calm and very focused while Dennis was being treated. We certainly did learn an awful lot from the experience of being in the semi-final the year before, and it just gave us that little extra bit of confidence that we weren't going to panic, and if things were going poorly, we were going to play our way out of it, and we did, you know.
Liam Hassett restored parity in the 3rd minute of the second half. Then Maurice Fitzgerald once more came to the fore.
Fitzgerald left footed and is parried over the bar by the goalkeeper. Got his hands to it and over the bar with a powerful shot, going for a goal. Kerry are moving sweetly now. Billy O'Shea to Maurice. Maurice Fitzgerald on the 14, tipped it high and tipped it over the bar.
Kerry were 2 to the good, 12 points to 1-7, 8 minutes into the second period. Within 3 minutes, Cavan were level. Kerry responded in kind and with interest. The scoreboard now read Kerry 15 points, Cavan 1-9, and 16 minutes on the clock. At the midway point of the half, Cavan put over to reduce the gap to 2 at 15 points to 1-10. 10 minutes from the end, Kerry were in danger of falling behind.
We're in trouble here as he goes inside, across the face of the goal. Off the upright, but back in comes another block down. Kerry back down defence, and a man who comes away with it is Liam Clark. He's fouled. Dig out, that was an amazing sequence of events.
The Cavan goal was not as fortunate in the 30th minute.
What is this gentle inside to Michael Francis Russell on the 14? A goal for Kerry! A wonderful goal by young Michael Francis Russell. What a catch by Maurice Fitz in the middle. What a goal for Kerry.
With the score now at 115 to 110, Kerry were out of reach and on their way to a first final in 11 years. Kerry won by 117 to 110. Injury had curtailed Billy O'Shea's early season contribution and he got an unexpected call-up in the first half against Cavan.
I remember Dennis Dwyer taking a ferociously bad knock. You know, he knocked himself out catching a great ball, fell awkwardly on his head. All of a sudden, then we got the call to go in. I'll remember that day for a long time because not only was that I enjoyed the game, number one, but the roar from the crowd that day, both from the Cavan side and the Kerry side, was phenomenal because there were two teams that probably were vying for an All-Ireland final for the first time in a long time, particularly the Cavan people. It was deafening. I remember the final whistle was absolutely deafening. You couldn't hear yourself think. It was one of those great, great moments and that you'll remember just for the fact that you couldn't hear what was going on. It was so loud.
The greatest day. The story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group. Proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams. Part 2.
Victory over Cavan meant Kerry's All-Ireland journey would extend into September. For Mike and Liam Hassett, It was a journey in every sense of the word. The brothers were commuting to and from Leinster throughout the summer for training. Liam Hassett.
We were offered during the summer, so we were professional sportsmen during the summer. For the 3 months of summer, it was great being a teacher because we could concentrate on football. But then maybe come September, if we got into the All-Ireland final, you have to travel down at least once a week, or if not twice a week anyway. And the week up to the All-Ireland final, you might have to take a half day from school and travel down. Mike was teaching in Greystones. I was teaching in Dublin. You'd travel down a half day and you'd train and be back up again maybe for half one, 2 o'clock, and going to work the following day. So, but I mean, it's something you just did. You didn't think about it, and all you were focused on was football, to be honest. Coming up to the All-Ireland final, you'd do anything.
The county was now busy planning for a first final in 11 seasons. All-Ireland fever had well and truly swept across the kingdom. For many, supporters and players alike, it was a new experience. Billy O'Shea.
You didn't want to be getting too, you know, caught up in the whole lot of it, because at the end of the day, you still have to go out and you have to win the game. I remember Maurice Fitzgerald being interviewed after the game and saying that, you know, that he couldn't go into school on the Friday before him because he was getting so much attention and well wishes and things like that. The whole town of Killorden was euphoric, because not only did we have the captain, there was four of us from the club that were actually on the panel. There was a huge amount of goodwill towards the players that were representing the club here. Marty Morrissey came down one day. He wanted to do an interview with some of the people of the town. So there was a party atmosphere going on. The bars were full, and you know, it was a great time, and it was something you'll never forget, because from our point of view here, we had our Ireland club in 96, and then all of a sudden we had a man representing us at inter-county level who was going to be picking up the Sam Maguire in Liam Hassett. So like at that time, there were brilliant times, and I'd love to see them repeated, but it's very difficult to see, but we'll never know, we'll have to wait and see.
Billy O'Shea's Lawn Rangers club mate Liam Hassett was also well aware of the hype, but heeded the advice given to the players by their mentors.
Yeah, there was massive hype that time. I think it was the age of when Kerry supporters really donned the green and gold, and you had the younger supporters coming on board wearing jerseys. There was a huge surge in buying of jerseys and t-shirts and all memorabilia and all this kind of thing. You know, we had the press night, a lot of media attention. But in fairness to Paddy, I think we knew we had a job to do, and you know, he gave us good advice, and I suppose he was there long enough himself in the 8 All-Irelands. He knew that a job had to be done, and the only time to be in the media, as Paddy said, is to be after the final.
Mike Frank Russell's goal scoring performance off the bench against Cavan had led to calls for the young sharpshooter to be considered for a starting spot for the final. Russell himself believes the right decision was taken in that regard.
There was a lot of talk at the time whether I was going to start, and some people were saying that he was too young to bring him on, and you know, maybe I think the selectors at the time probably made the right decision that you know, I was coming along nice and they were breeding me really, I suppose. So you know, I think they probably made the best call in the day. You know,
Russell wasn't the only Lawn Rangers man who would find himself consigned to the subs bench for the All-Ireland final. While clubmate Billy O'Shea did get the nod to start for Kerry, captain from earlier in the season Mike Hassett was omitted from the side to face Mayo. Brother Liam says it was on one of their many long distance trips from training that he discovered his older sibling would not be starting.
Mike owned a white car at that stage, and it was a great little car. Unfortunately, it wasn't that car that he said that I don't think I'd be starting, he says, on Sunday. And it was a long drive back up to Dublin, because Mike Hassett, I suppose, has put in a lot of dedication and commitment and sweat into the Kerry team since he debuted against Limerick above Inniskeaton in 1993 in a league match. So it was disappointing for Mike, obviously. It was disappointing for the family. Coming up to an All-Ireland final, you have to try and get on with things the best you can.
With Mike not making the starting 15 for the final, the captaincy shifted to Liam. Team veteran Stephen Stack believes Kerry's preparations in the lead-up to the decider were just right.
We were out in the Tara Towers, I think. Things were they just seemed to be very focused but very relaxed. I can remember the journey in, because I was sitting beside Declan O'Keefe, and he had some, I don't know, I suppose, in a hockey, but you describe the music now, but it was kind of funky music anyway, but... So he gave me one of his earpieces anyway, because I was jumping around the place, and he kind of felt this had helped both of us. So I remember that journey in, and you know, getting the guard escort and going into the grounds beforehand and having a look up at the stadium and all that kind of thing. And
Stack's teammate Liam Flaherty wasn't quite as relaxed the night before the match.
I used room with a good friend of my name and Breen there from Fionnuaig, but they had bloody radios inside in the lockers by the bed, and there was Breen with the bloody freaking radio on full blast, and he's sound asleep snoring. And I said, "Breen, is there any chance you turn that thing off?" And he wouldn't wake up for me. So eventually I fell asleep, and I woke up in the morning. I was forced to wake again, and there was Breen still snoring, and the radio
baiting away. She was still singing on the radio. I said to myself, how in the name of God can this man sleep?
Seamus Moynihan feels Kerry were in an ideal position going into the final thanks to the previous year's loss to Mayo at the semi-final stage.
They probably reckon we weren't as good as what we were. They were probably in the All-Ireland final in 96 and probably left it after them, and they probably felt that we would have been an easy touch after the year before, after they hammering us. So we were going in and we knew we'd our homework done.
All-Ireland football final day, well, a day in which there is no hiding, a day that every player dreams about from the cradle, but only these select few get to take part in this, the greatest stage that the GAA can offer a Gaelic footballer.
While Mayo kicked five bad wides in the opening quarter of an hour, Kerry were far more economical in possession.
Parlayed in possession now. Liam Hassan had gone in, but parlayed up to take the shot himself, sends it high, and the response from the Canalan says that is the first score of the game. Darroshay going in, Darroshay takes the shot, and it's over the bar.
This is Marcus Jones' first kick.
And here's, can his first kick be a fruitful one for Kerry? Well, the Canalan will tell us, and tells us it is.
In the 16th minute, Billy O'Shea suffered his infamous match-ending injury.
Billy O'Shea, who's going taking on his man here, throw the hand. Then he sends that ball inside for O'Kaneda, drops it, knocks it down to us. Billy O'Shea again, he's collided with Morris Fitzgerald as they both went for the same ball.
Billy O'Shea, I say, is in big trouble, Liam. Dad O'Kaneda passed the ball back. Billy O'Shea went for it, and Morris Fitzgerald went for it, and the two of them collided together. Down went Billy O'Shea. It was a very bad mix-up by the two Kerry forwards, and one of them was going to come out the worst out of it. It appears to me as if Billy O'Shea has got to go out of this game.
O'Shea has no trouble recalling the episode.
Myself and Morris Fitzgerald were going for the one ball. I think he told me after he was actually trying to fly kick it over the bar. I remember meeting my brother in the hospital afterwards, and he started giving out to me, and I said, what are you giving out about? He says, Fitzy was going to fly kick that over the bar on the volley. We'll never again see something like that. No worry about me and my poor old legs split in two, like. But yeah, it's one of those things. And I remember at the time, you know, he came over and he said, look, are you okay? And I said, look, I'm fine, don't worry about it. And he was getting a bit emotional in the end. I was trying to cool him down because he had to go on and play the game. There was no doubt about that. We had to come off. You could see straight away we were in trouble. You could see there was a right turn as he looked down. But yeah, I knew it was in trouble. People say you must have been writhing in agony and all this, but you weren't, because, you know, when you're playing in an All-Ireland final, you're pumped with adrenaline, you know, and I suppose then the shock kicks in of it as to what's after happening, and you didn't feel any pain at all, and it was fine really when we got to the hospital. They put a pin in it and away we went again.
With O'Shea departing the scene, the Kerry management were forced to bring on a sub much earlier than anticipated. John Crowley believes experience meant he got the nod.
I actually had missed the semi-final because I had a hand injury, so I was only up in the Cusick stand for the semi-final, so I had missed that. I had played in the early part in Munster, so, and the way circumstances came about with Billy unfortunately getting injured and having started so well, you know, it was highly unusual, and management probably felt it was a bit early to bring in Mike Frank Russell at the time. So it was kind of a combination of events that I ended up coming on so early, probably, you know.
Fitzgerald recomposed himself and kicked Kerry four in front after 22 minutes. A minute later, Mayo had their first score of the decider. Fitzgerald and Maurice Sheridan exchanged scores to leave Kerry in front by 5-2 after half an hour. Kerry then extended their advantage.
Liam Hassett taking on the Mayo defence. Wayne Torahand, he's heading in for goal. He's got Parlade with him. Give it to Parlade. Parlade's got Morris with him, and he's going in his own. Parlade fits it high and fits it over the bar. And Morris tries a big one, and it's a great one. A brilliant point for Morris Fitzgerald. 7-2.
A brilliant point by the St. Mary's Castlevine men. My goodness gracious me, what a beautiful player he is.
At halftime, Kerry led by 8-3. Liam Flaherty recalls how, despite what had happened to Billy O'Shea, the dressing room remained focused on the job in hand during the halftime team talk.
Believe it or not, there wasn't one word mentioned about that in the dressing room at halftime. The first thing that anyone said, Paddy, he's okay, he's gone away to hospital. That was it. Everyone else was focused. All we were thinking about, get out, get a second half, lads. We won the first half, let's win the second half. Broken legs, broken hands, made no difference. We were going to win in Ireland, and that was it.
After Mayo opened the second half scoring, Kerry hit back to go 7-up. 9 minutes into the half, Kerry led 11-4. Mayo pointed to put 6 between the teams. A penalty on 14 minutes gave them the perfect chance to have the deficit.
Darroshay will go for this ball, and Darroshay drops it. And Pat Fallon races onto it. Pat Fallon to Colin McManaman. McManaman shaking off Darroshay, quite short handing towards the 50-yard line. Sends a high ball across. Danger here, but Seamus Moynihan pulls it down. However, he pulled down. It's a penalty. It's a penalty for Mayo. It's a penalty. That's the break they needed. Diarmaid Byrne, who's caused little bit of trouble for Seamus Moynan since he came on, and he pulls him back there, and it is a penalty. I think we should nearly have to agree with that one.
Do you know, Liam, I don't know, I'd like to see it again. You know, it was one of those ones that if you left, I put it to you like this, if it was left go, I wonder would you argue that much about it. But Kieran MacDonald, I think he's the man that's going to take it now. A vital kick. We said Mayor wanted goal to come back into it. If he scores this, Declan O'Keefe, everybody in Rathmore is looking at him. Come on, Declan O'Keefe.
Here comes Kieran MacDonald with that left foot, and a left footed penalty taker, goalkeepers reckon, is the hardest one to save from. It's very hard to judge this kick, and he sends it low into the net. No doubt about that. That's what Mayo needed, and they're certainly back in this game, just 3 points in it.
John Crowley acknowledges that Mayo should have been put to bed by now.
Mayo weren't performing great, and we knew if we could just get going at all like that, we had it, you know. And, you know, there was a few chances, and I remember I got through, and I had a great chance of a goal, and I tried to keep it low, and in fairness, the goalie blocked it, you know, and I was saying, oh, there was a great chance in All-Ireland, like, you know, to kind of put the game maybe 4 or 5 points ahead of Mayo, to put them out of sight, and they were hanging in there. Next thing, they got the penalty, like, and, you know, they were coming back at us, like, I think they closed it to within 2 points, like, and without even playing great.
Mayo added 2 points. Their one goal and 3 points without reply meant Kerry's 7-point advantage had been whittled down to the minimum. After 16 minutes of the second period, Kerry led by 11 points to 1-7. The next score didn't arrive until the 25th minute.
Free in for Morris Fitzgerald, and a very good chance. It's only about 35 yards out or so, about 20 yards to the left of the post. Morris Fitzgerald, if he can show the composure here, this would be a cushion for Kerry. Give them a little bit of breathing space they so badly need at the moment. This could be the most crucial kick of this All-Ireland final, when they could settle Kerry down and settle the Kerry nerves. Here comes Morris Fitz, and he makes no mistake whatsoever, hurling it over the bar.
3 minutes shy of the half hour, Kerry had the chance to put Mayo to bed.
But Palade's swinging over here. He's going to run. Palade has gone across the centre. Will he punch it? It's a great chance of a goal here, and a great save by Peter Burke from Dennis Dwyer. Well, I thought Palade might have been advised to fist that one over the bar.
The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group, proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams. Part 3.
The score remained Kerry 12 points, Mayo 1-7. Fittingly, it was Morris Fitzgerald who had the final say.
Clarty can win this one, and a mighty man from Ballydunahoe sends it to Morris Fitzgerald. Morris would need to hold on to this one indeed. He's fouled, and it's a free for Kerry.
Yeah, they should hold it now, Liam. Pass it around, make sure they don't give the ball away. Position now is the name of the game now. Morris Fitzgerald hold the ball, pass it back. He never scored for Dale Liam. From Dale Liam, of course, as we said before, how can you judge this man? They should hold the ball, they should pass it around, and don't give away position.
Morris Fitzgerald out near the sideline, and he's going to have a big one. It's 52 yards out. By the time he kicks it, it's 50, and he's dropping it in, and it's gone over the bar. It's a marvellous point from Morris Fitzgerald. Unbelievable. Sideline kick, 52 yards out.
Stephen Stack could now relax, safe in the knowledge he had secured a second All-Ireland medal.
Their half-forward line and their midfield kind of took over a little bit for us in the second half, and they got a bit of a run on us, which is always going to happen. Like, you'll never dominate, well, teams in games that big are always going to have a spell, and we were very good in the first half, and we went in comfortably at half time, and Paddy had warned us, and Seamus MacArdle and the selectors had warned us that it was going to happen, that they were going to come at us, and it was just a case of trying to weather the storm. And then we'd have our moment again. As it turned out, we just finished that little bit strongly then. Of course, Morris kicked the point from the sideline, which was just out of this world altogether. But that was it then. That was the first time that I kind of felt we were going to win the game, you know.
Sentiment shared by Seamus Moynihan.
There was just one passage of play that will always stick in my mind, in the sense that it was a combination of a few players, but the ball, I think it was a Mayo defender had cleared the ball under pressure, but it was kind of came in high, and Liam Flaherty kind of just took it from nowhere. He kind of out jumped everyone, and Liam that day just had a massive game. And you know, only for Morris Fitzgerald doing what he did, Liam Flaherty was no doubt the second best player on the field on the day, and but had a fantastic game. But he caught a great ball, played the ball in nice and low, and I think actually the ball was hit over the line, but then after that Morris Fitzgerald put the ball up. It was the last kick of the game, and he kicked it from 60 yards out on the outside of the boot. And you know, they're just, I knew when that, once that ball floated over the bar, that it was curtains, and we had the All-Ireland, we had the Sam Maguire, and you know, it was just a great feeling. So those two memories in the game will certainly stick out.
The 11-year famine had ended, with Kerry beating Mayo 13 points to 1-7.
Oh, what a sight! Oh, what a scene! It's like something you would have in a painting. It's like standing in a hadoor and looking out on the lakes of Killarney and seeing the mountains and the lakes. So beautiful is the scene here in Croke Park. I have never seen anything like it. The flags, the green and gold. What's going to happen in Kerry for the weekend? What's going to happen in Killarney tomorrow night? What's going to happen in Tralee? And what about all the schools around the county when the San Miguel Cup comes into the schools all around the county? Oh, this is something we've all dreamed about, Ian. This is something that will go down in history. Marvellous day for Kerry.
Among those many thousand pitch-invading Kerry fans was future Kerry star Kieran Donaghy.
They won a ticket in the Stacks draw. There was two tickets left. Won a ticket, myself and TJ Hogan in the Stacks. Two young fellas in the time. We were both 13 or 14, I'd say. Won a ticket for the Nelly Stand. Not the best view, but it was good enough to see Morris was still kicking 7 or 8 pints and Pal Aid run over two. And went down onto the pitch afterwards and went up to Derek and Aid and asked him, could he get us into the dressing room? And Dara had been there, not a bother. Came down, went up to the steward and said, my two cousins are behind me. It was myself and Andrew Dineen. And Andrew actually had the full Kerry gear on. He'd a pair of trainers, he'd the socks pulled up, he'd shorts, and he'd the jersey at the time. And they actually thought Andrew was a player because he was about 6 foot at the time. He was the tallest one of us. And I got in behind him, and I just remember being in the dressing room and champagne being cracked in Sam Maguire and Darren Fellas on top form, as I know what it feels like, you know.
The post-match reaction of the Kerry players said it all. Declan O'Keefe.
I'm emotionless there with 5 minutes. I can't believe it. I'm shocked, really. It's the happiest day of my life. I just met my mother and father there outside, and they're crying. They're crying with happiness. Greatest day of my life.
Parlayed.
Myself and Liam Flaherty here. We've waited a long time for that since 1988. Since we left minors. We didn't think it'd take us 9 years to get back here. But we're back here and we won.
Liam Flaherty.
Breaks came my way today. They didn't go my way in the semi-final. Not really, anyway. I got a lot of criticism after that semi-final performance against Cavan. People didn't understand I was making a great player in Ron Carroll, I guess, but that's the way it goes. I'm training now about 15 months, I guess, since I had that operation on my shoulder, and I'm just delighted to get an All-Ireland medal. Eventually, after all years training, delighted. One medal will do.
Liam Hassett was the recipient of the Sam Maguire in 1997. Liam felt for his predecessor, his brother Mike, who had been omitted from the team for the final.
Here again, fitness, but I suppose the selectors said that he probably wouldn't match fit, and unfortunately Mike didn't get a run that day, and I ended up lifting the cup. But looking back, myself and Mike have spoken about this several times. That time there was only one man lifting the Sam Maguire. You see now that there's always nearly two fellas lifting the Sam Maguire at one time. But I invited Mike up, and Mike didn't want to come up because he felt he didn't partake in any part of the final. And you know, it's a kind of a split second or split 30 second decision, and I ended up lifting the Sam Maguire, of which I'm very proud of course. But maybe if we could turn back the clock, it'd be easier on all of us if the two of us lifted the Sam Maguire in 97. Unfortunately, afterwards, when everything died down around January of 98, you know, we just didn't have the heart to go back, and we didn't play in 98. It was difficult, I thought maybe, especially in 97, that maybe Mike could have got some bit of pitch time that day.
Of course, the fact you didn't subsequently get a medal, I think that was
that was the real nail in the coffin for him, yeah. Back then, there was some rule, there was only 21 medals were given out. Thankfully, through association with the GPA, and that rule has changed. I suppose we were involved in the GPA in the initial stages of it, and thankfully that the medal situation has been resolved, and everybody who puts in an effort is rewarded.
Mike Frank Russell admits that he might not have taken on board just what Kerry had achieved.
I was only a young 18-year-old myself, and I was just coming onto the scene, and I think maybe at the time I didn't realise how much it meant, because I had come up underage and won a few things on a T1 level, but just to see people afterwards crying, old people crying, like, it's something I'll never forget anyway.
The majority of the county may have been rejoicing in the county's first title in over a decade. However, Billy O'Shea's post-match consisted of a trip to the operating theatre.
I was taken straight to the hospital, and I think it only started to kick in when they were going over the little bumps, you know, on the back of the ambulance. Then it was getting a bit hairy, all right. But I remember we got to the hospital, and one of the doctors there was actually a Kerryman, and he rolled me into this room so that I could watch the rest of the match. They wanted to bring me to the theatre straight away at the time, but this fella intervened. He put on the match for me, so the two of us ended up watching the match, which was kind of cool, you know, that they had delayed an operation because of a football match. And afterwards then they all came in, congratulated us, and off we went to the theatre. Then after that, I saw most of the second half. It was kind of a frustrating thing to do, to watch it, because I don't think we played to the best of our ability in the second half, because Mayo were coming back, if I recall. And we got off to a great start, and Fitzy was on fire the same day. You know, thankfully, the boys kind of steered the ship towards the end, and I mean, that point by Fitzy at the end, it probably summed up the whole year for him.
because that particular year he was giving an exhibition of football, the likes of which I don't think you'll ever see.
Teammates and former players have ever since been quick to salute Maurice Fitzgerald's performance against Mayo. Mikey Sheehy.
Maurice Fitz's performance was absolutely breathtaking. And in fairness, on the same day, I would have to say, as Liam Flaherty was very close to him. He was absolutely awesome.
Wishy Fogarty.
Maurice Fitzgerald's display when he kicked all those points, I mean, that was absolutely magical. I mean, the man could do no wrong, really. He could do nothing wrong.
Stephen Stack.
He was incredible. Even, you know, he was obviously very personally very upset after the clash with Billy, which, of course, was a complete accident. But, like, to be able to focus again and hit a free from the sideline off his left leg, I think he just made his mind up. That was the day. I'm sure he had it done beforehand, but he was awesome that day. You know, and not just that day, and many days afterwards as well, you know, but that day particularly, he was something else, you know.
Seamus McGarrett.
The one that would really have to stand out in my mind would be Maurice Fitz in 97. Tán Gortha to heart. He ended the famine.
Liam Hassett.
He really, I suppose, turned it on that day. He really, you know, people say that he beat Mayo on his own, but I don't think that's fair to all the other players, because you had some great players in that team. Billy Shea was probably setting himself, probably would have had a fantastic All-Ireland final that day as well. Unfortunately, he got injured, but Maurice was outstanding that day, you have to give it to him. And I suppose it's down to the fact that, you know, everybody contributed to Maurice playing well. Definitely, I would say Maurice probably the best performance that I've seen in a long time.
Jim Sullivan.
Maurice was an absolute genius, there's no other way of saying it. And I think back to that unfortunate injury and how Maurice, you know, another player might have upset him, but in fact, you know, Maurice just overcame that and kicked some tremendous scores. And I remember, was it that year he kicked a marvellous score at the end? That was an important breakthrough for Kerry.
1997 was to be the first time that the Kerry team would fly home after the All-Ireland final. Billy O'Shea was determined to be on that plane.
They were sedating me every 2 hours or something like that, but it was a bit groggy then for a while. But it got to the stage, like, there was a lot of people calling, they had to actually stop it because it was just getting a bit out of hand. And I'd say the other people in the ward were getting a bit jealous as well, that they were getting no visitors and we were getting a good few calling. But I think the whole thing was geared to try and see if we would actually be able to get on the plane the following day, because that was the first time the team had flown down from Dublin. Normally they used to get the train down, but they were flying down the following day. So they were trying to make sure that we were stable enough to make that flight, which we were. So it wasn't too bad. At least we got to meet up with the boys the following day and whisked down on the plane and didn't see them for much longer after that, because the car picked me up and brought me into Tralee Regional Hospital for 4 days.
O'Shea was not forgotten amidst the celebrations. Liam Hassett was among the many visitors to his hospital bedside.
I think the following day I went in myself, and I actually got a little replica of the Sam Maguire. I gave it to Billy. I don't know, does he still have it? But I think it was... I think he appreciated it at the time, because, and he put it up in his little locker where he was inside in the hospital. So, I mean, it must have been hard for Billy. I think before he went into theatre, he asked the doctor, could he wait for the Sam Maguire being lifted, and he saw me lifting the Sam Maguire, and he said he went into the operation happy after that.
A county awaited the celebratory homecoming. Stephen Stack can remember the flight down from Dublin.
When we came back, it was a fantastic, there was a great reception from Donald Daly, because Donald was involved with us from Fireys. There was a Johnny Woods truck, I think, in Fireys, and there was bonfires, because I remember a relative of mine was actually flying the plane on the way down, so I got a chance to go up into the cockpit and I could see bonfires blazing as we came back. I think we were the first Kerry team to fly back after an All-Ireland, actually, because there's normally you would have the stops in Farnforth and Rathmore and places. So that was very special. And when we came back into Tralee and onto Killarney, and the whole week was fantastic, really. Like, and you just, you know, when things like that happen in your life, you have to take them in and you have to enjoy them, and you know, they're memories that are locked away forever. But it was very special, and the Kerry supporters that year were just fantastic, really, like, you know, from memory. In 86, people were so used to people coming home for All-Irelands at that stage, it was a case of whoever was in Tralee kind of turned up, even though Kerry supporters in general are good to come out when there's a homecoming. But 97 was very different, because for a lot of reasons, real colour started to come into the game from the supporters' point of view. It was my first time, I remember that year, you know, a massive number of people wearing county jerseys, not just from Kerry, a huge amount of colour. I can vividly remember the semi-final against Cavan, because they brought great colour and excitement to us. But I think the Kerry supporters that year were fantastic as well, because they were, I suppose, Like, they were going through a phase. There was a huge crop of young Kerry supporters that actually hadn't seen Kerry win in All-Ireland, because 11 years was a massive gap, so I think the Kerry supporters were fantastic that year.
Since that 1997 victory, Kerry have had the honour of winning the All-Ireland final on five further occasions. Mike Frank Russell feels any homecoming would be hard to compare with that of 97.
The five I was involved in, I have to say, out of the ones I was involved in, I have to say 97... I think we'll go down in history. I thought it was the biggest crowd I've ever seen at a homecoming. There's been big good ones since, but I think it was a famine, like, and there was I'll never forget. I've seen people in the streets crying. I'll never forget that, to be honest, you know.
Billy O'Shea was pleased that Kerry had reclaimed their place at the top.
People refer to the 97 team as the Renaissance team because that's when it all seemed to start off again from a Kerry point of view. I mean, it was 11 years before we actually won in All-Ireland, you know, from 86 to 97. But I suppose the whole start of it was when Paddy came along in 96. Because he was bringing on a lot of young fellas from the under-21 teams that he was a manager of. And in 96, as you say, we were the captain then. But I think that was a learning curve for this team. And we had beaten Cork in the Munster final, which was what we had set out to achieve that year. We didn't have any huge aspirations. We were trying to see if we could actually crack Cork in Munster. And we did that. And we probably kind of didn't focus too well after that. I thought that if we had kind of went into the All-Ireland semi-final against Mayo in the same vein of form and the same focus as the Munster final against Cork, we probably would have given a better account of ourselves, but it didn't happen. The only consolation is that I think there was a great learning curve from 96 that followed on to 97, and I think that's why we had the success of that year.
O'Shea finally got his hands on the real Sam Maguire later that week.
I actually got to lift the Sam Maguire the Friday night after at the reception in Listowel. I remember that I was asked would I make an effort to try and get out to Listowel for the Friday night, because they were holding the cup there that evening, and we did. I played with Listowel Limits when I was a young fellow, I was under 12 and under 14, so like it was nice to be able to make it out to the town that night. And whatever way I was, somebody held me from the side and I was able to put my two hands in the cup and lift it up. I don't know what it looked like, there was no camera action of it, thank God, but that was my first time actually picking it up, was out in Listowel, which is nice. The success of a team and the way it's judged will be on how number of All-Irelands it wins. And if you're going to be seen as a team, you know, that, all right, you can get out of Munster, but you can't, you know, come back with the All-Irelands, you don't want to be recognised in that. And that's why 97 was a, you know, a very eventful year and a very successful year. But it was a year of learning. And I think that everything that we didn't do in 96, we did in 97. And the one thing I remember Paddy and his selectors telling us at the time was that, you know, our focus on the championship that year was 100% to winning the All-Ireland. But the format of the championship that year was there was a game every 4 weeks. So everything was disciplined and constructed in such a way that you knew when you were training, you knew you were going to be doing the heavy training in the first 2 weeks, the ball training in the third week, and the games then leading up to the match in the final week then itself, which is kind of the winding down period. And everybody knew where they stood in that respect. And I think Paddy, in fairness to him, knew that at the start of the year, and he had set out an agenda as to what he wanted to achieve. I keep using that word focus, but the whole year, the focus was on winning an Ireland that year. And in fact, we actually won the National League too, which was a bonus, but it was the year to winning the championship.
Kerry goalkeeper Declan O'Keefe wants people to appreciate that 1997 was far from a soft All-Ireland.
Like, we had a great win over Cavan in the semi-final. People said that was an easy All-Ireland. We barely got out of Limerick against Clare, blowing the Gaelic crowns as well before that. So we had a tough enough journey to the final that year, and look, it was just, I think there was a palpable kind of sigh of relief really when we won that final. It wasn't about maybe the performance as a team, performance wasn't the best in the world. Morris's contribution was unbelievable that day. The reality is we won our first All-Ireland in 11 years and the place went hopping mad.
You've been listening to The Greatest Day, a 36-part series documenting the story of Kerry's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship victories. The Greatest Day was presented by John Drummy, written by Joe O'Mahony, and researched and produced by the Radio Kerry Sports team. This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland Sound and Vision Scheme.
The Greatest Day, the story of Kerry's 36 All-Ireland football titles, brought to you in association with Kerry Group, proud sponsors of all inter-county GAA teams.